Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith. Today's message is by Pastor Colin Urquhart.
Matthew chapter 21. Today is Palm Sunday. That celebrates the time when Jesus entered into Jerusalem and was welcomed as he really should be welcomed, as King, as Lord. Verse 4, this took place to fulfill what was spoken through the prophet. Say to the daughter of Zion, see your king comes to you, gentle and riding on a donkey, on a colt, the foal of a donkey. The disciples went and did as Jesus had instructed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, placed their cloaks on them, and Jesus sat on them. A very large crowd spread their cloaks on the road, while others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. The crowds that went ahead of him and those that followed shouted, Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest! When Jesus entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred and asked, Who is this? The crowds answered, This is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And if you turn to Revelation chapter 19, here we see Jesus as King, worshipped as King in heaven. Revelation 19, verse 5. Then a voice came from the throne saying, Praise our God, all you his servants, you who fear him, both small and great. Then I heard what sounded like a great multitude, like the roar of rushing waters, and like loud peals of thunder shouting, Hallelujah! For our Lord God Almighty reigns. Let us rejoice and be glad and give him glory. For the wedding of the Lamb has come, and his bride has made herself ready. Fine linen, bright and clean, was given her to wear. Fine linen stands for the righteous acts of the saints. Then the angel said to me, Write. Blessed are those who are invited to the wedding supper of the Lamb. Then he added, These are the true words of God. At this I fell at his feet to worship him. But he said to me, Do not do it. I am a fellow servant with you and with your brothers who hold to the testimony of Jesus. Worship God, for the testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. I saw heaven standing open, and there before me was a white horse whose rider is called Faithful and True. With justice he judges and makes war. His eyes are like blazing fire, and on his head are many crowns. He has a name written on him that no one else knows but he himself. He is dressed in a robe dipped in blood, and his name is the Word of God. The armies of heaven were following him, riding on white horses and dressed in fine linen, white and clean. Out of his mouth comes a sharp sword with which to strike down the nations. He will rule them with an iron scepter. He will tread the winepress of the fury of the wrath of God Almighty. On his robe and on his thigh, he has his name written, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Hallelujah. Amen. I had an interesting day yesterday because I was doing a teaching day for people in mid Bedfordshire, just down the road from our old stamping ground of Luton. And of course, there were several people there that were part of the revival that took place in Luton. They all look 34 years older than last time I saw them. And I suspect I look 34 years older to them. And it was wonderful to hear so many testimonies, not only of those who had belonged to the church there, but many, many others who had visited. They'd come to know the Lord there. They'd been filled with the Spirit. Miracles of healing had taken place in their lives. And it would have been like sort of going down memory lane, but for the fact in way the way the Spirit moved yesterday. People came, I think, with a great sense of expectation, and when they do that, God never disappoints them. But we saw the Spirit of God move, not only in the Word, but in the ministry time, and it was quite awesome because just about everybody, perhaps except for two or three, indicated that the power of God had come upon them and impacted their lives. And I would say about three-quarters of the people that were there received healing from God. It was awesome. It was sort of, I would almost say, like the good old days, like the way in which we saw the Spirit moving there day by day and week by week years ago. And the great thing about that is the same Spirit is here.
Yes, amen.
And He is able to move in just the same way this morning or at any other time. But you know, when we honor the Lord, He will honor us with His presence, and He will honor us by what He does amongst us by His Spirit. So that was like a throwback to my Anglican days, and I've got another throwback to my Anglican days here, which I'm going to wear, not because I'm returning to my Anglican days, but because it's going to illustrate well what the Lord wants to say to us. This, as you can see, is a white robe. And actually, all the robes that are worn, all the vestments that are worn by clergy, have a symbolic significance. And they wear a white robe because it's a sign of the robe of Christ, of purity, of holiness. This morning, this robe represents Jesus. Because He is the robe of righteousness. And because it is Palm Sunday and we want to begin to focus on the events of the Passion and Crucifixion, we need to understand afresh some truths about the cross and some truths about ourselves because of the cross. Jesus came in purity. Now, I don't suppose He wore a white robe like this all the time. But, of course, this is symbolic of what is true spiritually, not in the natural. And because He walked in righteousness and holiness, He was constantly at one with His Father in heaven. There was that unity between them. He could say, if you've seen Me, you've seen the Father. You've seen the way in which it's possible for God to be embodied in human nature. And because He walked in that righteousness and holiness, He lived in the constant protection of the Lord, of God His Father. When the devil tried to tempt Him right at the beginning of His ministry, He couldn't penetrate this armor of righteousness. There were many times during the course of His ministry, long before the cross, when the Pharisees and the teachers of the law wanted to kill Jesus. They plotted to kill Him. They had even planned certain things. There was the time at Nazareth when they wanted to throw Jesus off the cliff and kill him, because instead of honoring him, they were offended by him and so wanted to destroy him. When you feel offended, you want to destroy. When you honor, you want to give blessing. And so they were offended, so they wanted to destroy Jesus. But nothing could touch him. And we have these amazing words in Scripture where, you know, Jesus just walked through them. Here was this crowd, this rabble that were intent on killing him, but he was so much under the protection of his Father, robed in righteousness, that he could just walk right the way through his enemies, and they couldn't touch him. Even when they came to arrest him, and he said to them, "Who are you looking for?" And they said, "Jesus of Nazareth." And he said, "I am he." They all were slain immediately. They all fell to the ground before the righteousness and the holiness. Now, the amazing thing about the cross is this. The agony that Jesus went through in the Garden of Gethsemane was because he had to do this. He had to take off his protection. He had to be prepared to face the fact that he was going to be separated from his Father when he hung on the cross, something he'd never known before. He was going to have to be like us, exposed. He had to die the death of a convicted criminal, taking all our sin, all our fears and failure and sickness upon himself. He had to hang on that cross and cry, my God, why have you forsaken me?" But the one thing that enabled Jesus to go through all that, through the shame, our shame that he had to bear, through the guilt, our guilt that he took upon himself. What kept him going was the joy that was set before him, that he knew that what he had to suffer was, although terrible, only temporary. And yet its consequences would be eternal. That he rose from the dead. And when he appeared to the disciples, it was in his risen, glorified body. Perhaps different in some ways from how he appeared to them before, but nevertheless robed again in righteousness, in honor and holiness, victorious from the grave. But why should he have been prepared to do that? You see, let me represent now a sinner. Someone who doesn't appear to be a very bad person, perhaps may even live as a good citizen, has some values in his or her life, but doesn't know Jesus, doesn't have a robe of righteousness to wear. Someone who is exposed to the devil, to the powers of darkness that are at work in creation all around us, without realizing that that is the case. Just an ordinary person. Nobody who perhaps is a particular rebel or rabble-rouser. Just someone who doesn't have Jesus. But there comes a time when this person hears the gospel, maybe has to hear it several times, before he is prepared to turn to Jesus in repentance and faith. And as you well know, when he did that, he first came to the recognition of something that he'd never really faced up to before. That for all his niceness and the way he thought of himself as a good person, he was in fact, in the eyes of God, a sinner, separated from God by his sin. And as that conviction comes upon him, he begins to feel guilt and shame. It's not the first time that he'd ever felt those things. He'd felt them before, but he'd buried them or ran from them or tried to compensate for them in some other way. But now, under the conviction of the Holy Spirit, he can't escape any longer this sense of his great need to be forgiven, to be accepted, not just by man, but by God. He hears the good news about the cross, about what Jesus did there for him. And he hears that he can't earn or ever deserve the salvation, that acceptance that God wants to give him. But all he has to do is to repent, to turn his life over to this one who died for him. To recognize his need of God. To recognize that he has sinned, he has failed, but there is one who died that all that sin and failure would be washed away. And so there came that day when he surrendered his heart and his life to God and said, I want Jesus Christ to be my Lord. And even though it may have been fairly tentative at the beginning, he makes an act of faith, of trust in God and in Jesus Christ. And although he may not understand how or all the implications of it, he says on that day, I believe that Jesus Christ died to save me and to make me a child of God. And so he was born again. And when he was born again, God put on him this robe. Now, this robe is the robe of righteousness. And the scripture says, Jesus is our righteousness. Paul, when he's writing to the Romans, says, clothe yourselves with Christ. On that day, when he was born again, he was clothed with Christ. Now, the wonderful thing is this, that when he was clothed with Christ, that did not cover over the sin and the shame and the failure, but it eradicated it. That everything under this robe was made holy. Everything in his life was purified. All the shame was taken away. And he was set completely free from the person that he was, that the old had died and the new had come, and he was made a new creation. That he could say with Paul, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. And so now he has to learn to walk with this robe on. And he discovers what Jesus knew in his humanity, that while he wears this robe, nothing of the enemy can get through. The enemy can fire his fiery darts, but this is the shield of faith that covers him from head to foot. If I had a hood on this, I'd put the hood up as well, because he's covered from head to foot. And yes, the enemy will fire darts at him. Other people may do all kinds of things to him, but they cannot prevail. They cannot have their way, because he wears the robe of righteousness. But he learns also that the one who gave him this robe is, as we've heard in the book of Revelation, the Word of God. And so as he learns how to walk with this robe, he learns how important it is for him to honor the Word of God, not simply by reading it or knowing it, but by doing it. That he's not a hearer only, but a doer of the word. And he appreciates more and more as he grows in the grace of God that he only has this robe because of the mercy of God. That from start to finish, it was a work of his mercy, a work of his grace, and was therefore the outworking of that love that he showed him on the cross. So he learns to take seriously the warnings of Jesus, the parables of Jesus, that because he only has this robe through the mercy of God, he must be merciful to others. Because on that cross, Jesus spared him from the judgment that he deserved, he must not judge others. And he reads what Jesus said about mercy and judgment. Because he knows that although on the one hand he has this robe now, he is going to need that heavenly robe in glory in the life hereafter. So when he enters into glory, he's got to have his wedding garment on. And this is his wedding garment. It's the Lord Jesus himself. It's his robe of righteousness. Because he also knows that the one who went in without his wedding garment was thrown out. So he knows, I must keep my wedding garment. I must keep walking in that mercy, walking in forgiveness, not only of his sins, but forgiveness of others, because Jesus says, this is the deal. I've been so merciful to you, you must be merciful to others. And if you're not merciful to them, then God will remove his mercy from you. And so he learns that if he judges, that's like taking off his robe. If he starts accusing and not forgiving others, he becomes exposed again. Because Jesus says he's no longer forgiven by the Father. And he reads the parable of the unmerciful servant because he refused, having been forgiven so much himself, because he refused to forgive his fellow servant, the original debt that he had was restored to him. He was like someone without a wedding garment, exposed. He had made the mistake of judging. And he comes to understand that Jesus is not only the judge of the dead, he's the judge of the living and the dead. That a kind of a judgment comes upon him because he's judged others. He is being judged with the same judgment. When all the time that robe that he had protected him from judgment. And he begins to understand that he's not in a good place with God anymore. Oh, he knows the gospel. He knows what God did for him. And he knows what happened to him and the new life he was given. But because he hasn't forgiven others, he's no longer forgiven himself. So he's like this. What can he do? Well, he's got to go back to the beginning again. He's got to acknowledge his sin. He's got to say, Lord, I can't live without that robe. Forgive me that I judged. Forgive me that I condemned. Forgive me for accusing others. Because that's the job of the devil, to accuse. Forgive me that even though you have forgiven me so much, I was not ready to forgive others. And of course, God restores the robe. Because his mercies are new every morning. And of course, if we're wise, we'll only ever make that mistake once. Because we realize it's too costly and too dangerous ever to repeat it. Because we need that sense of being one with God the Father through Jesus our Savior. We need that peace that passes all understanding, that is ours as we wear this robe. And we understand that we can walk every day of our lives clothed with Christ.
Wow.
And so the Lord Jesus, so the Apostle Paul says of the Lord Jesus, put on Christ. If there's anything that's been going on in your life that has even if you haven't lost the robe, you've sort of exposed yourself. Get back. Get right. See, this is why every year we need a Good Friday. That even though we know this stuff and we know it all day, all year round, once a year, there's this particular focus on the cross, the particular focus on what he has done. And we need to say, oh God, I thank you for that robe of your righteousness. It's not my righteousness, you see. But you know, when you put that robe back on, when you know that acceptance afresh, all the stuff that was under, all that goes. It's amazing, isn't it? Just that one act of repentance, if it's from the heart, and the heart is purified, the heart is cleansed, and everything is suddenly all right again. And the confidence returns. And you can walk with joy. And the great thing is that when you sort of, if you ever did, start to judge and so on, and you lost that sense of being clothed with Christ, at that time you lost your ability to really bless others with Christ. But when that robe is restored and the confidence returns, you are praising God for your acceptance. You're praising God for the love that he has shown you. You're coming back into that place of thanksgiving for your salvation. And you once again just want everybody else to be touched by the life and the love and the power of God. And you just realize in a fresh way what an amazing God he is. How patient he is with every one of us. But it also gives you a heart for those who stubbornly refuse to repent. Those who hear the gospel, those who do actually know what is at stake, but they stubbornly refuse to bow their hearts, to bow their knee, and to acknowledge Jesus Christ is Lord.
Yes, you are, Father.
You feel for them, don't you? Your heart goes out to them. You say, it's so simple. You're just one step away from eternal life. You're one step away from knowing the glory of God. You're one step away from having a life that is full of Jesus and full of his fulfillment. Just one step away, that's all. And it breaks your heart to know that. And to see that stubborn refusal to repent. But that just gets you praying more, doesn't it? Because you can't make that person repent. And you say, oh God, just move in that person's heart and life. Move, Lord. Just somehow bring them under conviction so they recognize their need of you, Lord. And I praise God that he has been talking to us so much about harvest.
Right.
And as I was sort of preparing for this message and God sort of prompted me to use this robe just as a visual aid, he said, I want everybody to understand what an impact they make on the lives of other people around them when they're wearing that robe. They don't even realize the impact they are having. But just as those who don't wear the robe, they have a negative impact on those around them. So those who wear the robe of Jesus Christ, the robe of righteousness, they are having an impact just as Jesus did on the crowds of people. The tax gatherers, the crooks, the prostitutes, the down and outs, the no gooders. They were all there because they realized the man who wore the robe didn't condemn them. The Pharisees, the religious people, they looked down their noses at them. They would have nothing to do with them. They accused and criticized and judged Jesus because he reached out to them. He actually ate with them, which was a sign of fellowship in the society of those days. But you see, those who accused him didn't have a white robe. They didn't have Christ. And of course, not even the disciples had the white robe at that time. It was only after the cross and when the Spirit of God came upon them that they were clothed with Christ. And what did Jesus say to them before he went to the cross? Live in me. Can you see this? Look, this is him. I'm living in him. I'm clothed with him. Isn't it good? And he's living in me. Why? Because he made everything under this robe. He made it all pure, all right, all blameless in his sight. Because that's the power of his blood. And it's so good that if I or you or any of God's children walk with that robe, what will they spread around? Joy. Love. Peace. God's power. Healing. Mercy. Grace. Acceptance. Everything that's good. Everything that's positive. You've only got to hear people talk to know whether they're wearing their robe or not. So praise God, because you are going to have such a positive impact on so many people for the rest of your life. Hallelujah. Because by the mercy of God and the grace of God, you are clothed with Christ. That's what Paul says, you have been clothed with Christ. That all of us who are baptized into Christ were clothed with Christ. And one last thing. Don't you think that with that robe on, everything that is covered by that robe can be healed?
Come on.
Why? Because you see what the scripture says, it's this robe that gives us confidence.
That's it.
That we can approach with sincere hearts in full assurance of faith the throne of not judgment, but grace. And there, the scripture says, we will find mercy. Because we believe in the mercy and grace to help us in our time of need. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. Oh, I give you all the glory, Lord. Give you all the honor. Give you all the praise. Koratapaya. Come on, we can just get back into that flow of worship, can't we? Just thank the Lord for that amazing mercy. Thank Him that when you came to know the Lord Jesus, you were clothed with His robe. You were clothed with Christ. You were clothed with His righteousness. It's not a righteousness of your own. It's His righteousness. That you have no righteousness of your own. That self-righteousness is as filthy rags in the sight of God. But you have His righteousness. Come on, praise Him now. Thank Him that you wear that robe. Thank Him. Thank Him that He purified your heart, that He cleaned up your life, that He took all the shame and all the guilt away, and He set you free completely, and He made you totally acceptable to Him. Come on, you can make a better show than that of really praising Him, of really thanking Him. Oh, we bless you, Lord. We praise you, Jesus. We give you glory. We give you honor. Praise your wonderful name. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Korata parazata bakaya. Barata parazata bariazitoba. Now, if there's anybody here that has let their robe slip, come on. Even if it's just sort of half off and half on, whatever, you need to stop getting exposed and put that robe back on this morning. If you've been judging anyone, just say, Lord, forgive me. You died on that cross to spare me from the judgment that I deserve. So forgive me if I've stood in judgment upon anyone. Lord, when you put that robe on me, it was a sign. It indicated that you had forgiven me all my sin, all my failure, everything, Lord, in my life that had grieved you. Forgive me if I have been like the unmerciful servant and I've been offended or I've taken offense or I haven't forgiven someone. Or, oh God, how could I refuse to be merciful to others when you've been so merciful to me? So, Lord, right now, I choose to forgive any who have wronged me, any who have offended me, any who have spoken against me. And, Lord, I'm putting on that robe again. Oh, just robe me with that robe of righteousness because you show your mercy new to me this morning. Hallelujah. Just thank the Lord that right now He's doing that. Because the scripture says if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins, to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And when He cleanses you from all unrighteousness, He restores that robe of righteousness to you. Hallelujah. Oh, we thank you, Lord. Now, are you going to agree with God that you're going to keep that robe on? Because the Word of God gave you that robe. And you're going to obey His Word. You know, you're going to seek to put that Word into operation in your life. Now, thank Him that as you wear that robe, you are going to have such a positive impact on so many other people. Wherever you go, whatever you do, something of that righteousness of Jesus is going to shine through your life. Not your self-righteousness, but His righteousness. Something of His life, of His love, of His power, of His mercy, of His grace, just going to pour out of you. Hallelujah. Sometimes you may be conscious of that happening. Much of the time you won't be conscious of what is happening in the lives of other people. But nevertheless, God is going to impact their lives because you are wearing the robe of righteousness made possible through the blood of Jesus shed on the cross. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Purasata bakarasitoba. Barataparia zatu bakarasitoba. What a wonderful Lord. What a wonderful God. There may be some visiting today. You've never received that robe of righteousness. You may be one of those who, well, you've heard the gospel, but yeah, there's been that stubbornness, hasn't there? You've just refused to make that act of surrender. You've refused to give in to Jesus. Oh, you might have had a whole lot of reasons which you thought justified that decision. But somehow you realize this morning you're in no position to say no to Jesus Christ. Because not only is this for your welfare now, but your eternal destiny is at stake. And also you realize this morning that if you allow Jesus into your life, you will have a positive effect upon many other people. And that is much more satisfying than just living for yourself and trying to fulfill your own purposes and meet your own ends. How much better to know that you have touched the lives of other people with God's eternal life, and that they will be in heaven because of you, because of the way that God was able to touch their lives through you. Oh, you don't have to become a great evangelist for that to happen. You only have to wear the robe. You only have to be clothed with Christ. So wherever you are now, you can make that act of surrender. Yeah, I'm afraid that's what it is. I can't reduce the importance of this. You actually have to give in and say, Jesus, you're right. I'm the one that's been wrong. But I want you to make me right. I want you to put me right with God, put me right with others, and put me right with myself. And right where you're standing now, you can say, Lord, forgive me for resisting you. I need you. I want you to forgive me, to take away my shame. You can pray this along with me now. Lord Jesus, take away my shame. Take away my guilt. Forgive me for everything that has grieved you, has caused hurt in the lives of other people. Even when, Lord, I didn't intend that. Forgive me for all the negative impact I've had. And Lord, I choose at this moment to forgive any who have hurt me, wronged me, had a negative effect upon my life, either in the past or the present. Even those, perhaps, Lord, that don't live anymore on this earth, I forgive them for whatever they did that have a negative impact in my life. Because I want to get right with you today. I want to get right in every way. I want a new heart, Lord. I want you to give me a new heart, a new spiritual heart that is pure, that is good, that is right in your sight. Now you just make the act of faith. And you say to him, Lord, as I give my life to you, I believe you give your life to me. And that I'm going to walk out of this building this morning with my white robe on. I came in here just with my natural clothing, but I'm going to leave here clothed with Christ. Now, Lord, we just pray for any whose hearts you're working on at this moment. Any among us who are coming to these decisions. We thank you that this is the beginning of a new life for them. Now, I want everybody to keep their eyes closed so nobody might feel self-conscious, but if you prayed that prayer with me, just raise one of your hands now, because I want to pray for you where you are. Any more, very quickly. I see 8 people have raised their hands. Right, let's just pray for these folk. Father, we thank you. I see another one. Lord, we thank you for these folk. We thank you that you've moved in their hearts and in their lives. And we praise you so much that your word has found entrance into their lives to give them the light that they have needed. And thank you that they're going home different from when they arrived, that they're going home clothed with Christ. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. Thank you, Jesus. Come on, let's really thank the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Jesus. We give you glory, Lord. We give you honor. Oh, let's, while we're standing, just pray for the folks on these cards. Because then we're going to let the healing power of God be released amongst us here this morning. I mean, you've got that white robe on, so why don't you get healed at the same time? But let's pray first for others, shall we? Hallelujah. Let's stretch out our hands. There's a whole fistful of these today. I think the Lord knew this was the right day to put in a blue card, because great power is going to be released through this meeting right now. And we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless you, Jesus. We praise you, mighty God and King. Oh, hallelujah. Lord, we thank you that when you died on the cross, it was so that every need that is represented on these cards could be met, could be dealt with, and finally resolved. And we give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all the praise. We bless you, Lord, that those who need salvation are going to turn to Christ
as a result of this prayer, that those who need healing, oh, we speak your healing power over their lives. We say to each one of them, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ and for the glory of God the Father. Oh, we pray for any who are needing release from bondage in any way at this time. And we thank you, Lord. We praise you. We thank you for the release. We thank you that the devil is defeated in their lives. We bind everything that has bound them and we loose them from those bondages in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you glory. We give you honor. We give you praise. We bless you, Jesus. And Lord, we just pray for this body here. We thank you for the unity that we have in Christ. We thank you, Lord, that we all wear that white robe. That just as we read in Scripture, your army in heaven wears those white robes, those clean linen robes. So, Lord, your army here on earth is clothed with Christ. And we praise you, Lord, that when we pray as a mighty people. We pray as an accepted people. We pray, Lord, as a people that are in Christ. We pray as a people in whom you live, through whom we have our being. And we give you all the glory, all the honor, all the praise. Hallelujah. Now, Lord, we know that you are the healer. And we know that on that cross you did everything that was needed for our healing. Just turn to someone next to you. Lay hands on their head right now. Let them lay hands on your head. And just believe that the healing power of the Lord Jesus Christ is just pouring through you now. Remember, not a lot of words. Just keep your hand there. Say, be healed in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Now healings are happening at this moment. The healing power of Jesus is flowing from head to foot through many people in this gathering. Praise God. Praise God. Oh, there's a hernia being healed right now. There's several back problems being healed. There's people being healed from migraine. Somebody has had something wrong with their tongue, a great soreness, sores and things on their tongue, and God is healing that. Actually, you're going to have a tongue that's going to speak forth the word of God now. It's going to be a good spiritual tongue as well as a healed physical tongue. Praise God. Praise God. As somebody that's had a serious thigh strain that has been causing you problems for some months, and God is healing you right now. There are people receiving healing internally. Lungs. Hallelujah. You ladies in the womb and other feminine parts, the power of God. Some of you can actually feel the fire of God at work in your body right now, just as that person, your brother or sister in Christ, has their hand on your head. So the power of God is reaching the part of your body where you need to be set free at this time. Come on, give him glory. He is doing it. He is doing it. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Come on, let's just lift our hands in praise to the Lord now. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We thank you that it's simple when you do it. Hallelujah. There's somebody you've had, I don't know whether you even know it, but you've had lots of headaches and pain, acute pain in one particular part of your head. God has actually healed something in your brain this morning. The power of God, you're not going to have any of those symptoms, but the great thing is that you've been concerned about what it was. Well, you don't have to be concerned anymore because the power of God has touched your body. Can anybody shout hallelujah about that? Hallelujah. Come on, Lord. We praise you. All kinds of other things. God is still talking to me about, you know, somebody with their skin, a skin condition that you've had for a long time. God has healed this morning. Now your skin is going to, oh, it's going to be made so new. And the Lord is just saying the reason why there's this release of healing is because some of you needed just to get back to that place of faith of realizing how total your acceptance is in Christ and that you have that white robe. And somehow faith has just risen up within you And it wasn't particularly faith for healing. It's just faith has risen up within you. And so now as you apply that faith to the needs that we have, so things are happening. But praise God, you're going to keep applying that faith all week long. And no matter what situation you're in, and things are going to happen. Hallelujah. Oh, we praise you, Jesus. We bless you, Lord. Oh, hallelujah. Where's Chad? I think we need to sing a song of great thanksgiving and joy and praise to our God. Amen. Hallelujah.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.